first dates, when they're good, they can be magical.
I went to elementary school with your roommate.
How funny is that?
But when they're bad, not so much.
If a guy ever lived alone with a cat, I think that'd be a red flag.
I have a cat.
From executive producer Ellen DeGeneres and narrated by Drew Barrymore comes a truly genuine television experience. No gimmicks, no eliminations, just two people searching for an honest connection.
Would you like to go on a second date with me?
First Dates premieres Friday on NBC.
Mitch LaFon here. Please check out my new podcast, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, every Monday on the Jericho Network here at Podcast One. I'll be talking to all the biggest names in rock, including Andy Summers from The Police, Poison, Night Ranger, Loverboy, and a lot more. Download new episodes each Monday via PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or simply subscribe via iTunes.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, man.
I want to get some calls, but I got a little commentary. Issue. Got an issue. It may be another time for a little more bathroom etiquette coaching. Yeah. They're good with the lights and the door. The toilets themselves are becoming a point of contention. A lot of urine all over the place. Big piece of toilet paper with a big skid mark on it. Not in the water, resting on the plateau there before the water. Extra disturbing.
You know, I will tell you this. We had some controversy at the other shop.
Uh-oh. Who was it?
Well, you know, I don't like to point the stinky end of the stick at people, but...
The ramrod?
There was...
The ramrod.
There was some problem with the toilet backing up sort of in the other shop.
Yeah.
And the problem is we hired a new guy, and he's a big fella.
Oh!
And when I walked in,
man pond.
Here's what you're not looking for when you're trying to dodge the "hey, I didn't shit up the commode" bullet is me walking in, seeing a big dude eating a burrito. Like that was like I just went.
Case
I think
one.
We found because Rob was like somebody's messing up this toilet, and we don't know who it is. And then I just walked into the room. It's like big dude eating a burrito. I was like, I think we got our answer. But he says no.
Hey man, you're profiling.
I am.
How dare
I'm
you?
Definitely profiling.
And he could be a little. He could be the same as a 85-pound little Asian woman.
No, I get it. It's just big dude eating a burrito, always just going to get the nod when you're trying to figure out who's clogging up the commode. That was it's bad timing.
Yeah.
Could have been Asian guy eating jicama.
Yeah.
And that would have been a better thing.
Better.
Better.
Yeah.
Well, but this is big guy eating a burrito.
But you've got a well-heeled group here, and they're getting lax. Or they're acting out on the porcelain.
Toilets are tough. I was at the track the other weekend, and I was using one of the, you know, kind of, not the porta potty, but sort of the outdoor, you know, made of mason block, you know, kind of toilet.
Yeah.
And those things can go pretty south pretty quick.
Yeah.
Noticed a woman, I think it was a woman, it was a guy who left, and I walked in, and they had the toilet seat and the cover shut, down, both down, you
bad
know.
Bad sign.
I took it as a bad sign. But also, when I lifted it up, it was pristine. And it didn't smell like anything.
That's not a dude move.
It's not a dude move. And then I think it's people... It's right up there with the people who think they're being courteous and friendly by honking, by like tapping the horn as they pull away from your house, where you do that move, you're like, all right, we'll see you then next time. Thanks for the seven-layer dip. And you start walking back to your house and you hear toot, toot. And you go, oh, what's he want? You forget something? And you turn and they're just leaving.
I appreciate you
being kind.
Yeah.
But now I appreciate you being courteous in this bathroom, but now I'm reaching down and having to lift.
Oh, yeah.
I got to do some extra work here, I get my hand up under here. There's no tab.
Yeah, not a dude move. So it's a woman, right? For sure.
It could have been a dude. Can't remember.
No. Yeah. Not motivated out of a desire to protect you from potential exposure. I'm ashamed. I know this is a unisex thing. Some dude's going to walk in here after this. He's going to know I shit. I got to close this all down.
You know, Drew, you say the commode is half empty.
I do.
I say it's half full of
shit. Okay. It's different.
No, I'm saying my first impulse was, what the hell's going on here? And my next impulse was, every once in a while, courtesy and lethargy and shame meet at the same intersection.
That's true. Wow.
Powerful.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Somebody thinks it's girlfriend.
So wait a second. Hmm? This is a well-heeled group here. Yes. I'm just saying there's somebody acting out. Somebody.
Interesting.
Okay.
Let me explain wild card, because I have everybody coached up pretty good around here.
Who's the wild card?
Gate guy and electrician guy in here.
Okay. Electrician guy. The gate guy's been very good about not coming.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now listen. My thing in life, especially as it pertains to the bathroom and people have been in the bathroom and other people's bathroom is, or whatever, when I used to work at people's houses, I would pinch things out of the refrigerator or whatever. My goal in life is to not have you think I was born, or to have you not think I was born, essentially. Yeah. I don't want you to walk into a bathroom, or especially your bathroom, and go, the fuck happened here?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's a nightmare for you.
My biggest nightmare is that if you walk in and go, who was in here? What's going on? Like, there's a wet towel on the floor and there's shit on the ceiling fan. Like, what happened? I walk into my places and I go, what the fuck happened here? And it's like, oh, there's shit over there. There's a brand new thing of mixed nuts. They're like spilled out all over the place and open.
It's a great case for why you be well-heeled. Because then when the boss sees the shit on the porcelain, we go, well, these guys are perfection. They're a skilled team. They wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You wouldn't look around and go, all right, that's one's been acting out all along. I know who this is.
Since the bathroom etiquette.
No, it's a great reason to behave yourself. It's great because then people don't suspect you. They don't think about you when something goes bad because you're not that guy.
So are we blaming my crew?
We're blaming the electrician. Or the, what should we say?
Yeah.
The electrician? Yeah.
The electrician.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's all right. You'd have time to heal him up. But why don't you play the Spike video, the video about bathroom etiquette on Spike? Would they go for something like that?
Well, it's like 5.5 minutes long, so that's like too long for Spike. And then also, Funny or Die shot it.
Oh.
They own it.
All right, okay.
As far as I can tell, I think. I wrote it, but they own it. All right, Frank, 35, Florida.
Get it on.
What's going on, man?
Hey, since we're on the subject, do you guys still go pee during the breaks like honeymooners?
We don't have side-by-side. We have weird side-by-side here. Because we had side-by-side. There's no dividers in his bathrooms. They're separate bathrooms, right?
Hey, look, if I thought I could pee in the sink and Drew wouldn't talk about it on the show, I would happily go into the same bathroom with him. But now I just have to pee in the sink alone.
We do typically, if he's got one bathroom with a urinal, it's right by the door. We will stand in the urinal with the door open and continue our conversations. That does happen.
Oh, mm-hmm. God bless you guys.
Yeah, it does happen. Right? Chris, what's the matter? He's looking at me like, what? Like the guy behind
Adam
the camera.
And I just did the back-to-back yesterday. He was going in the sink, actually.
Wow. So I'm feeling diminished by that. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling left out.
Wait, where were we yesterday?
At the race shop when we got back from the race.
Oh, yeah. I took a whiz in the sink.
Like
five
guys in line for a pee.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in this bathroom.
It's my race shop.
But in these bathrooms, we'd be hip to hip.
Yeah.
It's a little weird without a divider.
Too tight.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
All right. So I made it. Well, hopefully Adam can give me some practical advice. Drew can give me some clinical advice. I made the cardinal sin of going through my girlfriend's phone and saw some pretty nasty texts from a couple dudes that she knows. And the problem wasn't that she was reciprocating any of them. It's that she just wasn't straight up denying any of it or turning them down.
What kind of stuff are you talking about here?
Does she know the guys?
Well,
yeah.
She works at a bar, and she's met a lot of dudes in her travels that are just horrible people that work in that environment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps in contact with them. And they have, I mean, she's a piece, so they're still trying to get with her, apparently. And
why does she stay? Wait. Why does she? I understand why she's staying in contact with them.
Just in a friendly way. I mean, that's the thing. That's what I was getting at. She doesn't just explicitly say no to people enough. That's a problem with her. So these guys are still trying to get at it, even though we've been together for almost 8 years now.
Well,
doesn't make sense.
Is no, kind of does. There's two things.
Sure.
Women love, they like attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guys don't really like attention. I don't really want attention, you know? Like, I just want to be left alone and go do whatever it is I want to do. Women, for a lot of women, that's kind of what they do. Get attention, yeah. You know? Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's, like, simulated. But they like the attention. And they feel good about it. And it becomes, yeah. I don't know why, it's kind of a fool's errand because it fills up something in you that should be filled up with degrees and, right. and accomplishment and yeah. stuff like that. But instead, it's some doofus dude telling you look hot. And that feels, that you can check that box and whatever your accomplishment thing is. But, like, what kind of stuff would they say and what kind of stuff, how would she respond?
Okay, so one guy was just keeps pestering her to go out. He sent a text on her birthday saying, I got your birthday present, but, you know, I got to give it to you in private. And don't want people hearing you scream at the restaurant, stuff like that. And instead of just being like, I got a boyfriend, she'll just say, you know, ha, that's funny, or yeah, maybe later, or something like that. The rational part of me knows that because I've listened to you guys forever, I think it's just the attention thing. You know, she grew up without a father and all that junk. But I guess the obsessive part of me is just like, you know, something's going on. You need to figure out what's going on, even though my brain says,
well, look,
stop. Everything's fine.
I'm not sure it's fine.
And I'm sorry. I should tell you that. I told her to text the guy, that particular guy. We're done. Cut off contact. And then he came back and still texted her and she replied.
What? How long have you guys been together?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, almost 8 years.
How old is she?
34.
And why aren't you guys married?
No impetus, no kids. We just moved in together. It's been a slow burn.
Well, this may be a symptom of something along those lines.
It could be. And she sounds like no dad, maybe a little chaos. Yeah. Also, you know, at 34 as a woman... You know, you're coming to the end of your reign as a princess, and the attention is nice. Look, unless she's replying to some of these things, which is meet me at, or I'll see you tonight, or whatever it is, if you're just getting, ha-ha, that's funny, or whatever it is, I agree. Look.
Well, wait, I agree with who? Him? Because I
agree with me.
I feel.
I agree. No. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying.
All right, listen.
Here's what I'm saying. Somebody.
Tell me, because I feel like an idiot, man.
Somebody makes a racist joke, right?
Yeah.
If you don't think you're being recorded, you tend to just laugh and nod your head and walk away.
Yeah.
You don't go, excuse me, that was very hurtful to Puerto Ricans. And I may not be Puerto Rican myself, but I can tell you that kind of talk is not going to do well in my home.
Yeah.
No one ever does that.
No.
Now, if we record that person, then we hear the other person do what human beings do. They nod and they laugh and then we go, aha!
Yeah.
Look at him! He didn't make the joke, but he should have, because he's just as racist as... No. Human beings have a sort of, I want you to like me. I want to get along. I don't really want to call people out, have this, like, uncomfortable whatever. Hey, you're out of line. Don't do this.
I got shit from my publicist friends from last week when you shat all over publicist. And I went,
Yeah. Well, it's true. Not your publicist.
No.
She's nice.
Thank you.
There you go. If all her responses have been is, okay, sweet, or see you later, great, whatever, that's something. If she's given some other response that's more proactive, then that's something else. So has she given a more proactive response?
Yeah, a few times, but it's hard to tell when you're just reading it if I'm just, you know, blowing the guy off. Just trying to get them off my back, or if something actually happened. Hey, I'll see you on Thursday. We'll talk about it then, type of thing.
Oh my God, dude, you're not stuck. You're dismissing all this stuff. You're rationalizing it away. You're trying to pretend this isn't real evidence. It's real evidence of something not good going on. Humbly, I at very least, a relationship is in order to have a relationship, you have to feel safe with that person. I would not feel safe with someone if she had one or two interactions like that. Multiple interactions like that, that's a fucking bullpen.
And well,
she's putting together.
And these are boundary issues. She's having either she's acting out or they're just plain old boundary issues.
Right. Explain to what you – I think you're right. What do you mean by that?
Just mean you have a relationship and those relationship comes with a certain rules that are sort of inherent to relationships. And some people are a little more flexible than others. Like,
but the acting out, maybe he's never married. He never asked me to marry him. So fuck that. Yeah, who knows what the acting out is.
Some people have a wedding and invite their first husband.
Yeah.
And that's not my idea of a good wedding, but some people are all right with it, you know, but then there's some flexibility, but this is crossing over the boundary.
Yeah.
And so,
you think so?
I do. And so okay. I think you need to have that discussion with her. I think you need to have the discussion about where you guys are at and if this is something she's looking for.
Yeah.
I think you need to find out what's in it for her.
It's a symptom. The only way it becomes it's probably a symptom of where your relationship is at, and that warrants a conversation. But it could be a symptom of something more, like if she tends towards alcoholism or love addiction, sex addiction, that kind of stuff. This could be a more chronic kind of problem that you're getting into. But again, you have to have that conversation.
All right, let's talk about Amanda, 33, Chatsworth.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Okay, so Dr. Drew, maybe I can go over a little medical stuff first before I get into my actual question. I had a perianal abscess.
Much like Adam, we did 10 minutes on that last week, didn't we?
What'd you do? You had a surgery for yours?
I did. I had several surgeries.
Come on now.
Well, you did it yourself, Adam. DYI, a perianal abscess.
Yeah, I could have come by and lanced you.
Wow. So mine turned into a fistula.
That is not turning into a fistula. That is a fistula. Because fistulas sometimes look like abscesses. They're not. They're fistulas. Okay. So do you have Crohn's disease or something?
No, I don't. That's the thing is that, had several surgeries, and I was scheduled about 6 months ago to do the fistulotomy, but because of my age, my doctor was kind of like, if you can live with this tiny little opening that kind of, you know, gushes some stuff every once in a while, he thought it would be better for me to not have the chance of incontinence.
Okay. Hold on a second. Drew.
Yeah.
You know they have rib spreaders
for
doing chest stuff?
Yeah.
Cooley spreader?
Anoscope.
Anoscope.
Yeah, it looks like a shelled
worst
out.
Worst way to see a movie. Now an anoscope. Yeah.
Full surround anoscope.
You think you're in the anus. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Technicolor. And anoscope.
And anoscope.
They use several cameras to put them together. Mm-hmm. Full anoscope.
Full anoscope, yeah.
It's like a shelled out piece of artillery. Imagine like a bullet cut in half and then shelled out. Uh-huh. I mean a bullet, I make a piece of artillery.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And it goes in like a trough?
Yeah, like a trough. But with a trough with a handle. So you can
kind of like
work.
like getting ice from an ice.
Yeah, one of those cooler things. Yeah, kind of like that.
So you get in there.
A scooper, yeah.
Because you couldn't just have a guy
ain't a scoop, they
hold,
should call
them,
it.
Hold the coolie apart the whole time.
No, well, they have stuff like that, but the simple thing is the anoscope.
It's called a scope.
Yeah.
Why is it called a scope?
So you can look in, look through.
Oh, okay. Well, I figured scope to me implies not like.
It implies technology or lenses to you, right?
Yeah.
Look up the Gary, if you don't mind. Look up scope. See if it.
Let's see how that works. All right.
Because I think there were scopes before there were lenses.
Yeah, but I still think I picture.
I get you.
Not the thing
I get you. It might be true. It might be glassware needed.
Yeah. All right. Like, it's like something that held curtains open I wouldn't think of as a scope.
Speculum.
Hang on.
There's anal speculums. What did it say? Gary's got it.
I'm still reading
it. Okay, go ahead.
True car, baby. Mm.
Don't need a scope for that.
Don't need a scope for that. Over 700,000.
Stethoscope doesn't have lenses.
True.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, seems to be a pathway for something.
Yeah.
13,000, by the way, certified TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get upfront pricing, you get info, you get discounts off the list price. Better buying experience all the way around. You see what others paid for the car. You get the fair price. Then you connect with a local certified dealer and enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Whether it's new, whether it's used, does not matter. It is TrueCar. So when you're ready to get a new car, or you're ready to get a car that's just new to you, and these new, by the way, I see people, I was just talking to Ed, went to TrueCar. He's got a car that's 2 years old. I thought it was new. Yeah. Everything seems new now.
Yeah,
it's just, you get a car that's 2-3 years old. It's seen, everything's modern. It's new.
Yeah.
And then you go to TrueCar. Just visit TrueCar.com. All right, Gary.
Scope. Oh, there it is.
Scope.
The extent of the area some deals with the opportunity to was informal. Oh, it's that's not very unsatisfying definitions, right?
Yeah.
You see all that? Let me read it out loud. So hold on. The extent of the area or subject matter that something deals with, like the scope of the problem.
Right.
The opportunity or possibility to deal with something, the scope of change. Informal, it doesn't say the informal. Keep going. Scroll up. Let's go. Assess or investigate. It's sort of like that. Look at, carefully scan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the Cooley Scope and talk to Amanda. Amanda?
Hey.
Hey.
So the main problem is that after all the surgeries, deciding to keep the little opening that's obviously a little bit inconvenient but better than being incontinent forever, I have a man in my life for 12 years. We've been together. We live together. We're not married, but that's my choice. I'm okay with that. So obviously sex has been difficult and painful, and I just kind of feel bad. You know, he's been very loyal and very understanding, and I'm still going through physical therapy because I have pelvic floor pain as well.
Sheesh.
As a result of all this. Yeah, it's like riding in the car was difficult for a while too, but after physical therapy, I'm getting better. You know, I can have sex about once a week, but that's it, and it kind of hurts.
Can you find any position that works?
Yeah, but it's like kind of a process to get into it, and like, if you will, when he's entering, that's the most painful part. By the time I finally get comfortable psychologically, physically, he's, you know, done.
Are you are you having any vaginismus, do you think? Is it sort of anticipatory clamp down, you know, as you think the abscess is going to create pain?
In the beginning, when we first started to be able to actually have sex again, but now I've been trying to be more comfortable and, like, maybe take a bath before or,
a massage. Listen, there's physical therapy to help with vaginismus. Talk to your physical therapy about that specifically. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
She's mainly working on me rectally right now to help with the
ongoing
muscle.
No. You got to tell her what else is going on. She's a professional. Don't worry about it. And they can help you. I bet you there's a good deal of help to be done.
When Christmas comes around, they deserve a little more than just the $7.50 bottle of Cutty Sark that you get the mailman. You
physical
know what
therapist?
I mean? Yeah.
Take her out to dinner? What?
Mike August was explaining to me about his perineal whatever that was moving on him.
What?
Did I tell you about this?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Wait,
I was obsessed.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
We were in Sacramento, I think, waiting outside a taco stand.
Oh, this is starting to sound familiar. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he's got his tailbone, which is starting to push out.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and his physical therapist got getting up in there
with a glove.
A glove.
Yeah,
and
pulling it, putting it in position.
Putting it in position with the people have tweeted me. There are such things as pre-lubed gloves, but I still don't. Yeah. Mike's so far out of it.
Right. Like, he's like the taco stand conversation.
She's not using lube. She is using. It's his anus.
Yes.
Mostly.
Not yours, but his?
It's his.
Okay.
And I'm having to explain to him that she's not just putting on a latex glove and dropping a digit on you. I'd have to sit on a rice steamer before any of that began, by the way.
Like
one of those rice cookers.
Yeah, or something for like what's the tea cakes?
Yeah, no, those one of those like
a dim sum heater.
Yeah, that's like what I'd sit on a dim sum heater because I would need to dilate. And then I would bring my own lube just in case. You know, like I would assume they have lube.
And an anoscope. Your own.
My own.
Fitted.
Fitted. Monogrammed. Passed down from generation to generation. All right.
Wait, wait. Hold on a second. Tonight on your show, I believe you're going to be airing the walkthrough at my house.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there's a, like a like a like a list coming up. We're going to have to get. How much do we – I keep warning my wife. I'm like, look, this is going to be 2 minutes of television.
Right.
And it's like, come on. And she wants to get all these points across and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. 2 minutes of television. Decide how many things can we reasonably address and what kinds of things are going to make air?
If they're funny, they'll make air. If they're not funny,
that's what I told her.
That's what you should tell her.
I said it's a comedy show.
But I love the fact that she's into it, though.
No, she's really good at this stuff. You know, really, really good. I mean, she's raised in a hardware store. So
I know, but as I've previously stated, that could have gone other directions.
It could have, but at least I probably did for a while, truth be known, but she absorbed all this stuff still, and so it's now putting it to good use. You know what I mean?
She knows the difference between a flathead, a buglehead, and a panhead screw and all that stuff.
I'm going to bet. She was laughing at me because I didn't know there's some sort of long securing something. And I was trying to describe it, and she just called it out. Because she, you know, her dad had did you ever go to see his hardware store?
No, but I remember we're talking about.
Yeah, he had this wall of drawers.
Yeah,
he got it from a library essentially, where they used to have the cards.
Periodicals. Yeah, was that periodicals?
The
cards.
Dewey Decimal System cards.
Yeah,
and he had a different screw and nail in every drawer.
Yeah,
and she knew every single one of those things.
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's weird. It's weird. It's weird that
you don't want to buy that. She's had it as a consignment shop. It's an amazing piece of furniture.
I'll buy it.
All right. Could be the thing.
Either you're in or you're out with this stuff. I found almost everyone's out. And, you know, people say to me all the time, oh, look at your son. He's going to go over there. And it's like, nah. Doesn't care. Just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And it's he's exposed to it. My wife's exposed to it. My daughter's exposed to it. They don't give a shit.
Well, I told my wife the comedy, if we want to focus on comedy, is how out of it I am and how into it she is.
Right.
That's the comedy. But listen, this thing would look good on your set that with all the – you know what I mean? It's in two parts.
I feel like if you're paying for it, you can be out of it.
Okay. Well, good. I'll remind you of that when we walk through.
I got what you call lose-lose. Jack, 31, Utah.
Can you plot him up?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Jack?
Hey.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good, man.
Get it on, guys.
Good.
What's going on?
I got to say, just real quick about the whole bathroom thing. I work for a pretty big company. I'm constantly shocked at the state of disrepair of bathrooms. Mm-hmm. It's like, are we not fucking adults?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we not just clean up after ourselves? Do we have to wait for the Mexicans to do it?
I can't. I agree. And my thing is also the folks that have their little morning constitution when they get to work, I feel like that's a home thing. I have my cup of coffee,
absolutely.
I do my business, and then I leave for work. I don't save it until I get to work. There's a lot of folks doing it at work. You got to get on schedule with that.
They like to poop and get paid. Like, there's a whole...
I get it,
but
then...
There's a whole group of people.
There's everybody else who does not want to watch them or smell them or experience them. But go ahead, Jack.
Exactly. So, I've listened for forever. I mean, I've been listening to Loveline since I was, like, 10. And, sure, it's contributed to a lot of my issues over the years, but...
Thank you. One thing
is, I've been listening.
Is that to be a compliment, or is that?
It's definitely a compliment. I absolutely love you guys. But I've heard Dr. Drew talking a lot, kind of recently, about benzodiazepines and their overuse, specifically with like Ativan, and I take lorazepam, the generic, and I've noticed some. Just kind of memory issues, and I've been getting older. I've been taking it for about 8 years, and at one point I was taking it every day, And I recently started seeing a psychiatrist about 2 years ago, and she actually has me on a as needed. And so I'm going up to a month without having to take it. But then I'll get these pretty massive panic attacks that send me into taking it again. And I'm just wondering, I mean, the long term, like, is this something that we know is linking to dementia and Lewy body and like all that stuff?
No, there have been some concerns about it every once in a while over the years. And certainly as we age, our memory, you know, it's not as good as it used to be. And benzodiazepines will make that significantly worse when you're on them. But can it permanently affect them? Again, this is a point of debate. I don't think so, really. My big concern is that it's the silent epidemic. If you look at the wave of increase in opiate use, benzos have followed right along. And every time somebody dies, they die because of the combo of the benzo and the opiate, which is a synergistic effect on your respiratory system, and you don't breathe. Now, if you're taking painkillers and you're taking the Ativan once in a while, I'm very concerned. If you're just on the Razepam every once in a while, you've been okay, and it's whatever, then just listen to your doctor. I'm not concerned about it.
Well, and I'm definitely on more than that for some other things, but nothing like painkillers. But in Utah, I mean, opioids are like our number one killer because.
But listen to me. I'm telling you, if they die and it's prescription meds, it's the combo. Opioid plus benzodiazepine. The heroin will kill you enough because of the way you've given it. But that's only recently come on the scene. So another recent on the scene is cabbage.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you're wondering how to get funding for a business, say, a small business, Cabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E. They help small business owners get flexible funding now, right away. None of the headaches of a traditional loan. You apply online, even from your phone. No waiting in line, no scanning document, no tracking down financial statement. And once you secure that loan, you only pay for the funds you use. They have supported already over 100,000 small businesses with $2 million in funding under that they've provided thus far. So to be a part of this, visit Cabbage, KABBAGE.com/Drew. Go ahead and apply because there's no cost. And as an Adam and Dr. Drew listener, when you qualify for your funding, you will get a $100 Visa gift card just for being a loan applicant or for funding a loan. Again, that is Cabbage with a K. It sounds like a great idea. Online, your phone, flexible, right away, no headaches, no financial statements. Cabbage with a K, KABBAGE.com/Drew.
All right. Hey, go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to find out about the cruise or live shows, or you want to find out about how to be in the audience for the Spike show that's on tonight. You can enjoy that. I see Dr. Drew run around over there. And I want to check out me and Dennis Prager over at Cal State Northridge. No Safe Spaces, doing really nicely. So check that out on iTunes, Amazon, AdamCarolla.com, 24-Hour War, all the good stuff. Drewski?
Go to DrDrew.com, see the Dr. Drew podcast, also This Life and Me and Spaz, all there. Check it out.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.